bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide.
This is The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
PJ Walker can play a little bit.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I believe it was MC Light that talked about getting a roughneck. He is a Houston roughneck from the XFL, right? Don't you remember?
Yeah.
MC Light?
Earlier on the show, co-host of the Pro Football Focus NFL podcast, Sam Monson. Coming up, host of The Rich Eisen Show, Rich Eisen. Two-time Pro Bowl tight end, Kyle Rudolph. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing well. It's a Thursday. It is the start to week six tonight, as Taylor Swift will be in the house, allegedly, reportedly, according to TMZ, and the Chiefs will try to end, or rather, the Broncos will try to end a 15-game losing streak to the Denver Broncos. It's been 7.5 years since the Broncos beat the Chiefs. For recreational purposes only, I guaranteed last hour that the Chiefs will beat the Broncos tonight. I just cannot in any way, shape, or form see the Broncos getting a win. And I think on a national stage tonight, after the Randy Gregory trade a week ago and after Frank Clark redoes his contract, according to our friends at NFL Network this morning, to make him more tradable, I think tonight begins the conversation on a national stage with Al and with Kirk to avoid the T-Man Taylor Swift cutaways. What do the Broncos do now, and who else is up for sale as we approach the trade deadline? Regardless, we're happy that you are here, okay, watching us on a Thursday. Kyle Rudolph is here next hour. We'll talk a little ND, Notre Dame and USC coming up, and the Ohio State game as well. He'll be in the broadcast booth with me Saturday at Rossade Stadium at Peacock, and in the broadcast booth at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium coming up on Sunday. NFL Network, NFL Plus for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and Derrick Henry and the Titans. Rich Eisen, wait, with a new background.
Yeah, you missed this yesterday while you were chilling with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Thank you for helping with that. Yeah, where are you?
I made my own pottery.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. You know what we call it?
What?
Harry Pottery. Hey, thank
now.
You. Listen, I'll be out of here.
Hey,
I'll see you.
Was it
I'll see you.
Everyone. Wow. Rich Eisen.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Rich, that's called bringing your A game.
Yes. Rich, I want to give you an insight to what our first hour was like. Care to weigh in on the poll? More likely. Okay. Yeah, you have no choice. I'm going to ask you anyway. More likely, and this is an insight to our last hour, more likely, aliens, Bigfoot, or the Broncos win tonight?
Stupid. Oh, my God.
Did you see the Bigfoot video?
Did you see Bigfoot
really?
Yesterday? It was
Brockman.
No, what
did the
happened?
Poll. Brockman did the poll.
What happened?
I had nothing to do with the
no,
poll.
No, I missed it.
There's a
I
video that's
it.
Going right. It's on all the major news services.
I wouldn't say you missed
okay.
it, Rich. I wouldn't say that.
A couple Bigfoot. On a train in rural Colorado took a video, and this is a clear one. Like, out in the brush, there is a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
The question is it a real Bigfoot? Here's the video. Can you see this?
Huh. Oh, yeah, hold on.
Yeah.
Let's see.
He takes a seat.
He takes a seat.
Because he's tired.
He's just sitting there.
He blends in with the brush.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a human being just deciding to
That's
do,
what I think it is.
Put it's, on it's some clear. Sort of a Sasquatch suit, because those things don't happen these
is,
days.
Is the guy
the world isn't
tall?
Completely insane and upside down.
That's what
Who
I
knows?
Think it is. Why he's doing that in the middle of the brush. In the middle of
Guys,
nowhere
let's talk
in Colorado.
About more important things. Let's talk about more important things. Yeah. I cut myself about 10
no.
minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh no.
What happened?
Yeah.
What
well,
happened?
I mean, you know, I decided to, you know,
clean up a little bit, huh?
Yeah, clean up a little bit for the Ravens and the Titans, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so but don't worry. I'm probable for the broadcast
okay,
on
good.
Sunday.
Good.
That's my current injury designation.
Did we require medical assistance? Is there a tourniquet?
No, I'm
anything?
Fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. No. Just a tissue. That's all.
Okay.
It was just quick and done. But other than that, I would vote aliens, actually.
Yeah, that's what
I would vote.
Yeah.
I would vote aliens. Yeah. because I don't think the Broncos are winning tonight on a short week. But crazier things can happen. Last week, I went to sleep thinking the Bears are going to be 0-5 and Eberflus is going to be on the hot seat. And I woke up and I'm like, really? Let me grab my glasses. And then I started reading. And then 40-20 was the final score. So crazier things have happened. I actually, you know, the things that you should ask is things that Al Michaels is probably going to talk about more than Taylor Swift tonight. I would go aliens, then Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll be a fun one tonight. So she is supposedly in the belt. She was at the Grove last night in Los Angeles
for the
premiere of her movie. Yeah.
For the big premiere.
She's flying back east. At any rate, today I was hanging with the Ravens. I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. Nice. in the hour. The one thing that caught my eye from the last 24 hours are the Philadelphia Phillies, and seeing what happened in the National League Championship Series on Wednesday night, and how Bryce Harper is becoming one with the city of Philadelphia in terms of the sports fans falling in love with him performing to the top of his craft when chips are down, to just the way he handles his business is quite Philadelphia. And for him to last night take into the game the sort of spite and anger of hearing about, I guess, was this caught on video? Was this like No. overheard on video or something like that? Where the teammates heard Arcia sort of have his fun at Harper being caught and doubled off in the rare 8-5-3 walk-off in No. game two? Is that what this
is? It was
about?
Not caught on video. Somebody mentioned it. A reporter overheard a conversation for what we all understand. The conversation was in Spanish, so there's a question as to something lost in translation. And regardless, it got to Harper. And then, yeah, you saw the stare down. There's a great clip as well, which I don't think we do have, but Braves radio. Not trashing the reporter, but basically saying, like, why is this a thing? Like, I get it. You want to get fired up about something, find your motivation wherever you find your motivation. But to his credit, Rich, he found it.
Well, here's the thing, is that it mattered to Harper, right? And what, he and Castellanos showed up in Deion Sanders gear, where they were wearing the phrase that I guess Deion said in relation to the Colorado State head coach, that they messed with the wrong person and now they made it personal. And it's funny how Harper said after the game that he had second thoughts about wearing it because he knew that Deion is an Atlanta Brave from back in his playing days when he went to the World Series. But the fact that he showed up and he hit those two home runs and stared down Arcia while circling second base is truly one of the more Northeast Philadelphia type, you know, middle finger moments that will endear him to the fan base. And if a Yankee did it, Brockman, I think if a Red Sox did it, I think that player would have had us at hello. Certainly if he brings them within the brink of a championship series. And that's what I thought. And then I saw his soundbite after the game. And it was an instant classic. This was Harper after the game.
How much motivation did the comment from the Braves shortstop give you going into the game?
No, I mean, it's a super competitive game that we play. And, you know, from both sides of the ball. And I enjoy commentary and things. And like I said, you know, I listen to WIP and you hear a lot of stuff on there as well at times. And I just enjoy it. It's why it's a part of the reason why we play this game, and there's nothing like it. Everybody's competitive that we play against, and I just really enjoy those moments and the opportunity to play this game and have those moments.
So was there any motivation?
I mean, anytime anybody says something, right? I mean, that's what it's all about.
Did you enjoy staring them down?
Yeah, I mean, I stared right at them.
We don't even know if it really was said.
Doesn't matter, right? How many times in the Jordan documentary where it didn't happen, but yeah,
Bryce
used
Harper's
it
not
for
Michael
his
Jordan
fueling his fire. Well, listen, I just found it interesting that he also listens to the local sports talk radio there, which means he's perfect for the city. Now, obviously, the Braves are an incredibly talented team and can win the next two and can make the National League Championship Series. But I kind of respect what he's doing. It may be disrespectful if you're Arcia, but it is something that he is channeling. And it's kind of wild to me because it's happening at the same time as Nick Sirianni is taking the Eagles to championship games and having that id of the Philadelphia sports fan on the sidelines, much to the rankling of the rest of the sports world. I can already sense your irritation at this topic, Chris, because I know the Braves are near and dear in your household right now. But this is just an interesting period where the head coach of the Eagles is acting in such a way on the sideline that's kind of similar to Harper circling the bases in a National League divisional series. And this soundbite from Sirianni yesterday about his sideline demeanor caught my ear before I even saw anything from the National League divisional series. Check it out.
I'm animated and a lot, right? And so I don't think I can be animated on the sideline and then ask anybody else not to be. I think that's part of the game. Emotion's part of the game. Getting to the root of the problems part of the game, and it happens just like you have a way to have a coaching point. Sometimes it's going to be delivered with a smack on the butt. Sometimes it's going to be delivered with a yell. Sometimes it's going to be delivered, whatever it is, right? They're the same way it can happen with animation on the sideline, right? And so to me, that's healthy. And when you're connected and when you're together, right, the only thing that matters is that we're getting better from it. But emotion, shoot. Man, if I had to take emotion off the out of our sideline, I'd have to go sit in the press box. So, and I don't see many head coaches doing that. So, yeah.
and he's the when I saw Harper circling the bases and staring at Arcia, and then speaking afterwards, I'm like, why does it remind me of? And it's Sirianni. They kind of look alike too, and just, you know what I'm saying? Like, look at that split right there that we have. Yeah. They kind of, you know, have the similar sort of look, and they're striding atop the Philadelphia sports scene right now. And Harper is one more win away from joining the Eagles in a championship series season, you know, and having a sports town have your baseball and your football team make a championship game in the same calendar year. Man, I don't know how far off the Yankees and the Jets or the Giants or the Mets are from that front. I know, Chris, you've had it more recently. I know, you know, Andrew, you've been searching for that your whole, you know, natural born life. It is, and it is something that you know, I just wanted to pause and kind of point out, you know, in my first comments.
You know what I loved about what Harper said there, the first one, when he said he listens to WIP, it sounded to me as if he's saying he doesn't listen to IP, the sports radio station in Philadelphia, to listen to a breakdown of whether or not Brian Johnson's play design is now different from Shane Steichen's, and perhaps that is stifling Jalen Hurts' growth. He listens, it sounded like, Rich, specifically for inspiration and to be motivated by slights. Like, yeah. I want to hear the hosts or the callers say that we're not going to win this series, or that our rotation is screwed up, or that Harper didn't come through in the clutch on a random Tuesday against the Brewers the night before. He needs that fuel. Like, I'm on the way to the ballpark and put on sports radio because I need to get fired up when I walk in the clubhouse. Isn't that what it sounded like?
Bless him.
Yeah.
You know, it's so rare. It's so rare to see that, certainly in a Northeast athlete, and that's why you got to hold on to him while you can, you know. And
wasn't that Trey Turner's thing this year too? He was listening to the radio and he was slumping and getting bashed by fans, and then he turned it on and then he put up a billboard thanking everyone for talking crap about him.
Yes.
Well, no, I think it was the billboard was actually thanking the fans who who gave him an ovation because he was in such dire straits. And then he said something about how difficult it was maybe to hear all this stuff. Right. And so some fans, he comes to the ballpark, he hears the ovation from them, and then he starts tearing the cover off the ball and put – so the billboard was actually a thank you, a genuine thank you to the fans, not a sort of a, you know, here's your middle finger back to you, you know, or – to use the Mets parlance, thumbs down, you know, like, so, and it just one last soundbite from Sirianni, who, again, I bring this up all the time. I'll bring it up again here. When he first started, when he first showed up at his introductory press conference,
disaster.
Didn't we think he was Philadelphia mincemeat?
He sounded like a high school gym teacher, honestly.
He was like Gase 2.0.
Yeah, it really, we were like, is this guy going to last in Philadelphia more than 2 seconds? And now he is absolutely hitting every note perfectly, from the way that he has this team winning to this brotherly shove. I mean, what is a more Philadelphia play than just, you know, shoving it in your face down your throat, you know? And he does that with his demeanor on the sidelines, like basically effing off everybody the minute they seal the deal. This was Sirianni's soundbite when asked about seemingly playing better on the road so far than at home in 23.
Since you've been here, you guys have been better on the road than at home, which is abnormal.
Well, tell me what the records are. What's the sample size? What is it? Everything.
Over 3 years, you were, I think, 6-3 in the first year, 7-1 on the road last year, and then this year.
But it's not like substantially better, is it? Yeah.
I frame it that way.
We play home games on the road, right?
Great.
I mean, you know, we play home games on the road because our fans travel.
I mean, it felt like an Eagles home game. It didn't feel, for everyone who wants to take their shots at Rams fans, sometimes, yes, there are more fans of the other team in the building. It did not feel like a Niner game. Yeah. Niner games feel uncomfortable at SoFi, but there were definitely a lot of Eagles fans there.
Well, there's a guy in the right square on the screen right now on our Roku channel feed. Chris, you sold your tickets, didn't you, for Sunday? Didn't you?
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't remember. Sunday. It was
but,
so long.
But Chris, you bought your tickets with the sole purpose of selling them every week.
Whose house? Game time tickets house. That's whose house it is right now.
I'm going next week. I'm going next week.
Are you really?
Hey, my mom's going to be.
You're going to the Cardinals?
No, Steelers. Steelers.
Oh, Steelers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Got to watch George Pickens play.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how. No, guys, this is how much you can tell that Chris Brockman loves Mary Brockman, loves his mother. That man on the screen in the right square on the Roku channel right now is a wonderful son, a loving son, a doting son, that he would say the number, maybe that Cowboys, maybe on the docket, number one
Eagles
most expensive, a lucrative opportunity to sell his Rams tickets this year. And he says, no, I will take my mother to the game.
Is your mom a Steeler fan?
You're a beautiful. No, she's in town.
She's
she
in
wants
town.
To go to
she's
a game.
In town. She's
Mary wants to take in a game. Yeah. And he's like, sure, I'll deal with the parking and I'll deal with the traffic and I will eat maybe the most lucrative opportunity to make my season ticket dollars back. No, mom, we'll go to the game. What a beautiful son you are, Chris.
It's killing
beautiful. You. Yeah, it pains it's me killing on the inside you. To give up that much profit, but you're right. I love my mom.
Every day is Mother's Day for Chris. So you're beautiful. By the way, do not shy away from this, Chris. You should bask. I'm looking. Let me put my glasses on. Look at your beautiful beaming face right here. You deserve to take a bow.
Yeah.
Well done.
And this is
well
all
done.
While understanding
well
that you're going to take a bath on your Cardinals tickets this week.
Oh, we're going to lose money on the Cardinals tickets.
Well, why don't you go? Go.
Oh, yeah, we're rich. The out. Parking.
Map it
why
out.
Why don't you take
map
cage?
It, map it for now. Map it out. Map it out for
a 3-year-old at SoFi? Why not? I
why
did
not?
Take him to. I
it's
did
not
take,
like it's not like going to the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum could, and sitting him in the black hole.
We did go to a.
He could play video games
with
a beautiful building.
He could play video games with Kyler Murray. What's Kyler doing?
I mean, they're the same size, so it works.
Yeah,
it would
they could do.
Out.
They could have some Roblox. Well, I didn't say anything about the size. They could Roblox it up during the game. Man, I definitely cut myself.
You did. Well, you're okay.
At any rate, that's my two cents. I just was literally thinking that watching Harper just stare it down. Him and Sirianni right now are kind of ruling the roost right now.
Destroyed.
You know what we should have, and I think we figured out how to turn the Patriots around. Just have Belichick listen to Sports Talk Radio in Boston. He'd be inspired, and he'd be fired up, and you would get the motivation to turn things around there for you.
That's it. That's part of the clean start. That's the starting fresh.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, let's do it.
Starting over, whatever that means. They're going to lose to the Raiders.
You can't say starting fresh. You can't spell starting fresh without EEI. So there you have it.
That's true. I think you're about that.
I just figured that out. I'm smarter when I cut myself.
There you go.
All right.
Coming up next, it says on the rundown here, Kirk Cousins blocks out the outside noise.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. He's going to block out the noise. And then does he accept a trade? And if so, where? That's coming up. Rich is in London. We are here in LA.
Look at that.
And Bryce Harper and Nick Sirianni are separated at birth.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
And we're back on the Rich Eisen Show. Andrew's sitting in for Rich. Rich is in London, and we have TJ here, and Chris here, and Jason here, and the entire crew is here as well, just discussing on one of the Roku-only segments here about ESPN putting up a picture of Dak Prescott when discussing fantasy players that have yet to win a game. I honestly think it should be, if you're going to go there, like a Bryce Young or something like that. But as somebody once told me on the .com side years ago, NFL.com in the newsroom, they could, and we used to have a big screen. Rich, you remember this up in the newsroom of all the stories on .com and the numbers they were getting. This is way back in the day in Culver. And somebody once told me that they could put up a story about the Steelers midseason swapping out punters. Their punter goes on IR and they bring up a new punter. And that story on the front of NFL.com would get the most clicks that day, period. And it was the same for the Cowboys. The Cowboys and the Steelers, to your point, TJ, they simply move the needle, love them or hate them. They have a massive fan base, both domestically and internationally. And even the most basic story for either of those two teams moves the needle. And if it comes to using Dak Prescott to troll people or to troll Dak Prescott, you know what? Low-hanging fruit. They're going to do it.
Well, I mean, look, we know all about the Steelers. Brockman, tell that story about Hines Ward when we were just the old little old Rich Eisen podcast to coming up with an idea to credential football players to be our Oscar red carpet
2012 Oscars.
Chris, was this still the shower curtain days?
This is the shower curtain days.
This is very much way back.
This is the first.
So
time
just everyone, hold on a second. Giveaway. Now that you said that, we've got to add content. Okay.
Yes, please.
All right. Now that you said that, we
okay. So Rich and I used to do the Rich Eisen Show podcast back at NFL Network. This is 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yes, they came to us. We were doing a podcast audio. Yes, this audio. Show was born out of it.
So there was little tiny VO booth at the old NFL Network on Culver.
Correct.
And it was very small. And we had a curtain with the logo on it. And every time we would go in there to record, because it was green screen behind there, we would pull the curtain and like clip it so it wouldn't move and stretch it so it looked all great. And we had these little tiny DV cameras. That's how we recorded. It was so ghetto.
That's right. And so, you know, that's just the production support we got. It was so funny. The programming department, NFL Network, when the lockout said, hey, you know, we're in need of cheap programming. Would you be willing to do your podcast on television every week? And I said, I'll do it as long as you call it inexpensive programming.
So anyway, in 2012, let's try to get credentialed for the Oscars red carpet. We'll just go there to interview. I'll do a piece. So I went. With the camera crew. We got Heinz Ward to say yes to be our correspondent. It was amazing. We get there super early. You have to wear a tuxedo on the Oscars red carpet. We rented tuxes and we're walking up and down beforehand, just kind of chilling.
And the only people who knew Heinz Ward was going to be there was me, you, Heinz Ward, whoever credentialed Heinz Ward, and whoever we had as the videographer.
The videographer, Heinz Ward's manager was there. That was it. They had bleachers outside of the Dolby Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. They had bleachers set up for a small number of fans, like 500 or so. And at the top left corner, we hear, Heinz! Heinz! And we look up, and there's like a half dozen Steeler fans with terrible towels, waving terrible towels at the Oscars. Like, why would they be there with terrible towels?
They didn't just recognize him. They had terrible
towels. They had terrible towels to go to the Oscars.
They brought him to the Oscars.
Nobody knew he was going to be there. There was like four of us knew that we were doing this. Why were they there? I don't know, because Steelers fans are everywhere.
And it wasn't a setup.
I know.
Not just, a setup.
Well, I mean, and bring Completely hey, let's go to the Oscars. You know what we should do? We can't go to the Oscars without bringing our terrible towels. It's totally nuts, but it is the story I tell crazy. All the time whenever the Steelers famous fandom comes up. But one last thing on all of this, just to be straight up, you know, thanks to doing this show every day and placing much of what we do every day online, not just with the Roku channel and the Roku channel collection, the Rich Eisen Show collection page, which is the video on demand service associated with our show. But, you know, we have a YouTube page that we're thrilled about, closing in on 650,000 subscribers in short order. And at any rate, you can see the search terms, and the number one searched football team on our page is the 49ers every single week.
The faithful.
It is that, man. It is that. So, you know, put it all together. If we had a fantasy page and a fantasy league that we were running, we would not be putting a photograph of a 49er up to indicate a losing team. It just leapt out at me. I'm like looking at my Instagram feed and I'm like, first things first, like 3% of all fantasy teams on the ESPN fantasy site are winless right now through 5 weeks. I thought to myself, oh man, poor Coop. And then I'm like, why is there a photo of Dak on there? Like, why is that the indication of zero wins? He's got three, you know? It just makes no sense to me.
It also speaks to the fact of how much of fantasy is just luck. Like, I mean,
of
like
course.
Aaron Rodgers week one. I had Aaron Rodgers. I drafted him. Yay. I put him in my lineup. Look what happened. Or you could put... I've always said you could put the best quarterback in football in the lineup, and the coach may wake up that morning and go, you know what? We're going to run the ball 40 times. It's not your fault. Hey. I didn't make a bad pick. I put the quarterback in the lineup. I drafted him in the first round. There's a luck involved to it.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers,
yes.
Sir, here we are entering week six of the National Football League. I talked about the Eagles in the previous segment. And they're the ones visiting the New York Jets and taking on Zach Wilson. And you know how I said at the end of the show, was it earlier this week? They all mashed together, you know, when you're traveling internationally and making pottery. That, you know, I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday where I'm like, after seeing what Zach's been doing the last 2 weeks and knowing that Aaron Rodgers is rehabbing like crazy, thanks to modern medicine, and his gumption and his heart, and its dedication that
and
you're
modern
not going to
and dolphins
and modern yeah
and modern
you're not going to pull the plug on Zach Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett and what they're doing to keep the fires burning so Rodgers can come back and maybe, who knows, late December, early January, be the hero and win the Super Bowl anyway, and this will be a story for the ages. You're not going to pull the plug on all that. Certainly if Zach is healthy And certainly if Zach is performing in a trajectory that is moving further up. And it was, Brockman, what was it, week two Overreaction Monday podcast? You're like, you know, the Jets should trade for Kirk Cousins, or we were starting to talk about it.
We were on
and
set
last
super
week,
early.
I wanted Tom
last
Brady.
Week you said the Falcons should trade for Falcons. Kirk Cousins.
And then Ritter
this
has
was
his
coming
best
off
game.
Of this was coming. This is, yeah, and then Ritter played his best game yet. But I mean, this was coming off the loss in London, I believe.
Right.
So that was post week four Overreaction Monday. But here we are, 1-4. And Justin Jefferson is out, officially IR'd for a month. And here we are with the exact scenario that everyone was potentially envisioning for the Vikings to cut bait, to get far enough along in their season to say, we're a third of the way to Caleb Williams. We're a third of the way to Drake May, maybe. Like, we're, this is, you know, and Cousins isn't on the roster next year. We don't believe or expect. So this is the time to maybe trade him. And now with Jefferson going out, Cousins was asked if he would lift his no trade clause just to get out and get to a spot this year if the Vikings are asking. This is what he said.
Ignorance is bliss, and I'm just really ignorant. I don't really have access to a whole lot, and I try to do that by design, so it's pretty intentional. And aside from high school friends who may text me what they're reading, and I'll text them back, and I prefer to remain ignorant, you know, so I would appreciate not getting text. Aside from that, I really don't know what's going on. I've been insulated at times to the point of being naive and a little stupid, but I'd rather err on that side than consuming everything and just, you know, having to, again, it takes your focus away from what is important and what will help you play well. And so that's kind of how I wanted to do it.
I'm impressed he still talks to people from high school.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Do you need a hug, Andrew?
No. Rich, we're just older than him. That's all. I mean, do you still talk to people from high school?
I do.
Okay. Yeah, actually. Well, I got a couple, but anyway, I digress. Your point. You were saying.
Well, no, I mean, what's the guy going to answer, right? Yeah. Because if he says, yeah, I'd be willing to do that, then that's the main story going into the, you know, Chicago Bears game this weekend. And then suddenly everyone's looking at him in the huddle like, wait a minute, you're not all in this this huddle with us right now. You're thinking about trading your way out of here. You're thinking about pulling a ripcord. So I understand he's saying that he's ignorant and he's trying to ignore it. But I don't think what can be ignored here is that barring an injury to a starting quarterback for a team that has currently, what would you say, 3 wins right now, or a 2-win team that's about to get a third win through 6 weeks, who's the market? You know, who's the market? What is the market?
Like, I don't know. I don't know that there is one. I just don't know
if there is one either.
Because let's say they lose. Look, they could also beat the Bears this week. I mean, it wouldn't surprise any of us if they go into Soldier Field and Kirk Cousins has one of those days.
Yeah, with Addison and Osborne killing it, and then suddenly he still throws for 400 yards. I mean, like that can absolutely happen.
But then next week they get the Niners on Monday night. They're going to lose that game, right?
Yeah.
So, but regardless, we know they're not better than the Lions, and they're not going to make the playoffs. So you have to make the decision. Now, the thing that Rich stood out to us yesterday is that when Jay Glazer was on the show yesterday, he pushed back and he said, well, when I was there in training camp, and he said, maybe it's changed since then, but when I was there in training camp, I kind of got the feeling that they wanted to bring him back next year. And we all went, huh?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't mean to. Glaze knows where more bodies are buried figuratively in the National Football League than anything, he knows this stuff. I just know that the last several years at the combine, you know, the Vikings in the draft have absolutely been kicking tires on who might be next. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Cousins comes at a very expensive price tag. So why wouldn't you want to find your kid in the draft? Certainly if the kids coming out in this coming draft are insanely talented and you are already, you know, 1/6 of the way there, if you lose, even if you win the next game and you got 2 wins and then you lose 2 more and you're suddenly you're now 2-6, 2-7 coming with Jefferson coming back. And if you're Jefferson, you're like, I'm coming back to a 2-7 team. I haven't gotten paid. So
for
maybe
who,
suddenly,
for
you know, ooh, my arm, you know, like maybe he's not. And again, he's a professional and I love the kid every single time I've seen him. But this is the reality of the National Football League. In the same way, if the Cardinals don't win many more games, despite how much moxie they've got on the board over the last 5 weeks, what if they're 1-7, 1-8, and Kyler Murray's going to come back and play then? Or do you just stick with it when you're already halfway to a first overall or second overall pick? This is absolutely in the ether right now. And part of the reason why I thought Cousins to the Jets, which, you know, in week two when Zach struggled in Dallas, and week three and he lost to New England, and week four after one quarter and it was, you know, Telsey Palooza with everything going on Sunday Night Football, you know, I thought to myself, there's no way, despite how bad the Vikings are playing, that they're going to trade Kirk Cousins, because Justin Jefferson needs someone to throw to him when he's looking for a contract. And what a way to basically tell Justin Jefferson, hey, this is your big year for you to put the bag on the table. We're going to give it to you, but we're going to absolutely say, you know, your numbers dropped. And he could easily say, well, you traded my quarterback away. And this is the way things go in the NFL. I'm sure they're going to sign Justin Jefferson, or at least attempt to do that. But put it all together, I thought there's no way they're going to trade Cousins when Justin Jefferson is in this situation, and he's out for 4 weeks. So it's changed everything. But who else is out there? Like, even if, heaven forbid, Dak goes down, there's Cooper Rush. If Purdy goes down, there's Sam Darnold, right? I mean, if Tua goes down, they've got Mike White. Do they go and say, screw it, we're going to bring in Cousins?
I got two for you.
Let's go for
okay.
it.
Okay, so got? Number one, and this would be, it would be extreme, but if Deshaun Watson's shoulder doesn't get better, there's the Kevin Stefanski, Kirk Cousins connection. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but there's at
Understood.
Least a tie.
We're
there.
We're totally speculating right now.
It's all reckless speculation. It would require Deshaun's making 50, 60, whatever it is, and then you got to bring Cousins in. It would have to be a one-year rental only. Clearly, you can't keep him there. So he would have to agree to go there, waive the no-trade clause, understanding he is auditioning for everyone else for next season. The other one is, and you're listing quarterbacks that could get injured. Yeah. What if Joe Burrow's calf goes again? There is nothing behind Joe Burrow there. That might be interesting, but these are all injury hypotheticals. Without an injury, I don't know that there's a spot other than Atlanta. Kyle Brandt, our good friend of Good Morning Football, yesterday had this tie-in, which I hadn't thought of. He's like, you know, Kirk and Julie were married in Georgia. There are Georgia ties there that I wasn't aware of. Just because they chose to wed in Georgia doesn't mean he wants to play for the Falcons. But he started drawing some ties that I didn't necessarily know. And then I went,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, just because I got married in the boathouse in Central Park doesn't mean I want to have a boathouse. You know
no,
what I mean?
It like doesn't. That. It doesn't. You don't know, do you want to hang out in Central Park again?
I can safely tell you, Susie does not want a boathouse. So, but I mean, that is the 100% reality of the situation right now. Unless TJ, do you have a possibility at all? Anything leaping out to you that might, you know, because I'm struggling to find one, you know, another one, you know?
No.
Right? I mean,
what about, I mean, just a long shot, Indianapolis? We know it's a one-year
rental.
They're
3-2.
Wait, maybe so Anthony Richardson.
If Gardner goes down?
Worse. Yeah, Gardner goes down, or he's just ineffective, and Richardson's going to be out maybe the whole year now.
They're not good enough to win.
They're not good enough to win that division?
They might be good enough to, maybe. I can't see Richardson.
You
just saw the Jaguars. I couldn't see the Jaguars faltering.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville?
Anyway, just looking for a long shot.
I mean, it has to take an injury. It would have to be a major unforeseen injury. It would have to be in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's so there's downright, that. Right? The rubber has met the road. That
and
is for sure.
It would have to be also for more than what the Vikings would get back when Cousins if Cousins leaves in a compensatory pick, which would be the end of the third round, which is roughly pick 100, 105 in that window there. So it would have to be
something like it.
Like that.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't see it happening.
The Jets should still do it.
All right. Coming up next, we'll make up more potential injuries and locations for Kirk Cousins. Rich is in London. We are all here, and we do not root for injuries at any time at all.
Not.
Just to clarify. It's the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. I forgot to tell you that I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. It does not have pottery, but it is still lovely. It is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Thinking of, or speaking rather, of clicking, easy for me to say. Rich, we clicked on the Twitter this morning, on the X this morning, and we saw this butte from Irvin Magic.
Yes. This
Johnson.
Is how I found out about why the Dodgers got swept. You know, I was thinking, why did the Dodgers get swept?
We're disappointed that our Dodgers didn't hit or pitch well.
That's it.
That is
That'll
why
get
we
you
lost
every time.
The series to the Diamondbacks. They have now.
My only concern about this tweet, and I'm hoping Magic's okay, is he didn't say. We lost the series 3-0. Like that's
no score.
Normally he gives you the score. Literally, he's human sports phone.
Yeah.
Is what he is, you know. So from back in my day, I was wondering why did the Dodgers not win the series on the Diamondbacks? They didn't. Oh, there it is. Now you put my
because Lance Lynn gave up four homers.
Throwing
in the
hangers,
four.
Bro.
I mean,
what
good
in the
gosh
world
almighty
has happened to the Dodgers again. What? In the world,
clearly the Dodgers need to go back to playing 60-game seasons. That's the only way.
Oh boy, look at you, bro!
So last year they won 111 games.
You're not even giving them that one. You know, it really is astounding how the regular season means nothing in Major League Baseball. It just means nothing. It means nothing. You just got to get enough to just get in. That's it now.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to do. I think that. Are they going to start talking about, you know, trying to tilt it towards teams that do better in the regular season? How do you do that?
I mean, can I push back against that? They have their payroll is what? It was 270.
Very high.
They won 104 games. They shouldn't need things tilted in their favor.
Yeah.
They won 111 games last year.
Unreal.
Comically
unreal.
Huge payroll. And they got bounced by an 84-win team. No, an 89-win team last year in the Padres. This year, an 84-win team. In essence, teams that they won an extra month's worth of games. They had like a month's more wins.
Yeah.
And they lost both years. Like,
you know why they lost? I'll tell you why they lost. They didn't pitch well,
and they didn't hit.
And they didn't hit well.
Yeah,
and that's how they lost the series.
They didn't hit well.
Sucking.
His level of anger, with this tweet and the tweet last Friday after
the
Commanders lost.
By the way, I was just talking about that on the ride in to visit the Ravens today with the rest of the crew, with Kurt Warner and Jamie Erdahl and Jonathan Siegel, our producer from EBS. Andy Gregg, Giant, made the trip.
Oh, Giant.
By the way, nothing like, because, you know, in these cars, you got to get, let me just give you something international travel.
One of those?
Dude, these cars, you know, there's three seats, and then there's three seats across. If you don't get in the car first, you're driving backwards. That's no good, man. I cannot. And then there's roundabouts.
And they're on the other side of the road.
And you're needing
driving
with
wrong
Andy
way.
Greg.
Driving, you know. Oh my God. And Andy Gregg's. Andy was sweet. He goes, he saw like I was turning green. He's like, we'll switch seats on the way back. I'm like, please. But anyway, I brought this up in the car ride. Could you imagine if Daniel Snyder had tweeted out, you know, we lost because we didn't have any fire. You know, we didn't have, we didn't compete in the first half. What would have happened if he had done something like that? But Magic is just so widely beloved. And by the way, the reason why they lost, because of it was too big of a hole to climb out of. And that's why well, the Commanders ended up losing 40-20. There's your final score. There's your final score at halftime. And your halftime score.
Yeah, both.
Just get all your sports news instantly. So
4%. It only cost him $250 million to be able to tweet that.
If he was a Notre Dame fan, the reason we lost is we only had 10 players on the field.
Yes, that's right.
Instead of the required 11.
That's right. Right. As we lost, you know, let's check in with Lou Holtz. Let's check in with what Lou Holtz has to say. Oh, my God.
Gosh.
Oh, by the way, Lamar looks so chill and so happy. He's just he was grinning like a Cheshire cat. Rich, and his face lit up when Zay Flowers' name was mentioned.
How did your interview with Quan go? And did you call him Quan?
Quan is just a man.
Did you call Roquan him Smith when he came
he's
in?
The man. I did not. I did not. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
I was trying
to make you guys close.
Did you get to see the table that John Harbaugh described yesterday as like he said he felt like he was in Ted Lasso? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see. We were in a different part of their in a beautiful spot.
Are they in a castle? Because they practice daily at a building they call the castle. I would only think it would be fitting that they get housed in a castle there.
It is. It's like a hotel. It's the like grounds similar to that spot in Canton, Ohio, that you know, that we stayed at years ago with NFL Network. But anyway, long story short is the Titans come in tomorrow. They're flying now, man. They're doing exactly what the Bills did, and the last time the Ravens played in London, they got waxed. It was the number one largest margin of difference in a loss for John Harbaugh in his 16 years, and they came in on a Friday morning, so they went full Costanza. They're like, we don't know what the science is, but we are doing full Costanza. They showed up Monday night. They've been here all week. So we'll see if that's any indication on what's going on. You know?
Yeah. So. Hey, you know what? Get off the plane, go do your business, and then get back on the plane. It did not
work. Hey, man, the Bills tried that. The Bills tried that, and it didn't work.
Didn't work.
It didn't work. It was literally the matchup between the team that arrived the latest against the team that had been there the longest. That's never happened before.
Rich, we got 8 seconds of the radio audience. We thank you kindly, sir. Rich Eisen, everybody in London. And we are still here. Yeah, we had a caller yesterday, Rich, say that you saw Rodgers sit down last week before last week's game, where he said something like, oh, you know, we wanted to experiment with the team here for 2 weeks. And that caller inferred that Roger was suggesting we intentionally gave the Bills, dealt them a bad hand to see if we'd be right that the team that was well rested. No, the Bills chose to get there later in the week, knowing that the Jaguars had been sleeping in the same beds for 10 days. That's on them.
They were the ones who decided to come Friday morning. I mean, you could have done, but again, it's just the concept of everybody gets to stay in their own beds, in their own facilities during workout, for practice, be with their families all week. It's the least disruptive thing until you got to travel. And instead of it's like flying to Seattle, instead of flying over the entire continental United States, you just flew over the Atlantic Ocean. But it's 5 hours ahead, and that just messes with people. Again, I've been here a week, I'm just starting to feel like myself again. And then I do this, you know, so hopefully. Thanks for your concern, Chris.
We're concerned.
I'm worried about you.
Thank you. I'll show up tomorrow. I'll be on the show tomorrow.
I've no doubt. In our final 20 seconds, Rich, have a great game. Last time you and I will speak.
Enjoy, all right,
brother. I'll see you next week. But the rest of you guys, I'll see you for what's more likely in my top five other games to look forward to on Friday's show. We'll chat then.
See you then. Kyle Rudolph coming up, everybody.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you were asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday.
the podcast, wherever you listen.